You're listening to the Elevate Podcast, and I'm your host, Robert Glazer. Join me as I talk to world-class performers about how they build their capacity and reach greater heights in leadership, business, and life, and how you can do the same. Welcome to the Elevate Podcast and another edition of Weekend Conversations. Each week, I'll take a deeper dive into an article or interview that I shared during the week. And as always, joining me is my co-host and co-producer of the Elevate Podcast, Mick Sloan. How's it going, Mick?
It's going well, Bob. How are you?
Good. Another week. It always seems to flash, and we're back here doing this again.
Taylor Swift dropped a new album. It's a big day. Are you going to listen?
I saw it in the middle of the night, right?
What's your favorite track?
The more people like something, the less I like it. I don't know. That's always been since I was little. So I don't not like it. I just not chasing things is not my thing.
Fair enough. So what are we talking about?
All right. So we're actually going to be talking about the latest Leadership Minute, which published this week, which is my weekly series for premium subscribers. And it's about one of my favorite topics and something that comes up a lot, particularly after my presentations. And I gave a couple last week, which was sort of a prompt for it. And that's this concept of energy vampires.
Sure. So before we get into it, I don't think we've talked about the Leadership Minute on the show before. What is it, the Leadership Minute?
Yeah. So I started a sort of premium subscription last year. We have almost 1,000 subscribers. So for those who get Friday Forward, there's actually a Wednesday note. It follows a little different format. And it's much more something tactical for those in kind of leadership roles who are active, who want to improve on something. So again, how to deal with energy vampires, how to give better feedback in conversations, where Friday Forward's a storytelling. This is a little more for people who want something that they can go kind of do or change. So it's a good compliment. And so you can read the preview to the post, but you can't get the whole post without being a subscriber. So you'll get, if you're not a subscriber, you might want to become one, but otherwise you will get a preview of what's behind the paywall here today.
So like you said, this is a pretty fun topic. For leaders, obviously, you need to be very mindful of your time and of your energy. And so the real kiss of death is if you spend a lot of time with people who are an energy vampire. And so what is an energy vampire?
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of long definitions. We'll get into this, but really simply, just think it as someone like you feel worse after you spend time with them. Like they have, as opposed to someone who is uplifting and you have a great dinner with friends or otherwise, you walk away and you feel worse about yourself and you have less energy after spending time with them. They just sort of draw it from.
Yeah. And it's, you really know it when you see experience it.
Yeah.
It's that sort of ambient, like humming in your head, that sort of headache that you might have, or if you're walking away from a dinner with someone and you're just like constantly turning over, like, oh, I can't believe when they said this thing, or when they like didn't thank like the server. That really pissed me off, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as you noted it, as we were kind of going through it, I think another thing is like whatever they're doing bothers you more than when someone else is doing it, right? So there's this heightened sense of annoyance in everything they do.
Every person's unique, obviously. And because energy vampires often relate to a person's core values, what's most important to them. But there are a few archetypes that overlap for a bunch of different people. And so you talk about a few in the article. The victim, the narcissist, and the drama king or drama queen. So what's your personal least favorite to deal with of these three?
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a tie for me. And maybe I picked these because these are my three biggest ones that I struggle with. But I think because it goes a little bit against my kind of better way of value, it's sort of the victim. Where it's just like, oh, I am just going to hear these tales of woe and how the world is happening to this person and how they had no agency and this thing happened and that thing happened. A close second is the drama queen. I don't have a lot of narcissists in my life for better or for worse, but in certain professional settings, you know, I've been in different like groups over the years, and like that's the one thing I've noticed, like. Also, like these are the people that just some sensational, crazy thing this time. And then next time you don't even hear about that one, but then there's another one. And eventually you're like, come on. So I think out of those, the Victim for me is probably the most kryptonite, followed shortly by the Drama King or Queen.
The number one thing that I find most funny about the Victim archetype, because I think it's something everyone has experienced. This is the person who, if you tell them something good that's happened in your life, they will immediately tell you either A, something bad that happened to them that's similar in a similar domain, or they'll like do something to kind of dump a bucket of water on your good news. So this is the type of person who, if you tell them you got a promotion at work, they might be like, oh, well, it sounds like your job's going to get a lot harder then, right?
Yeah. And you know, the Victim also does a little bit of this. And I had this years ago with a friend of my wife's. But, you know, you reflexively you pick up the phone. Like, oh, hey, it's Mick. Hey, Mick, how's it going? Oh, well, you know. And then they start telling you all the bad things that are happening to them. And you're like, it was just a greeting. Like, it was a, hey, how's it going? Like, that's how you know you're really set up for a bad interaction.
Yeah, and this is also a little bit related to the narcissist is like this too. And to me, I think the telltale sign of a narcissist is they're the person, and I've actually done this before in conversations with people where
you put down the phone, put down the phone and left. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you say, I am just going to whatever this person says, I'm going to respond with, okay. And they will just keep talking. And they won't notice that you're not saying anything really of substance because they don't really care. Like, it's not really about you, it's about them. So.
No, when we used to have call waiting, there were certain people you could, you know, you can't even break in to say, I got to answer the other call. And so you just go and then you come back and they haven't broken stride.
Yeah. And the drama king, drama queen, I feel like the ultimate example of this archetype is kind of the classic oversharer, which I think I would imagine you can't stand that.
Yeah, the thing that really gets me is like the love letters, like when it's your 20th anniversary and you put like what should be on your card to that person in private on Facebook, or you talk about your 7-year-old who's not on Facebook, like, you know, so because basically it's for the whole world to see. And it's just, yeah, that stuff is a little nauseating to me.
Yeah, or the people who act like they hate drama, but really they feed off of it.
Yeah, like you just look, they're always at this high or low, or you know, some people have bad luck, but it just seems like all these things could not have actually happened to this person in the way that they are describing them.
Yeah, there's a whole there's actually a Reddit community called That Happened Sarcastically, which is just people posting images of fantastical stories people tell on social media being like, and then everyone clapped.
Yeah. Exactly.
So every person obviously has their own type of energy vampire. And while the archetypes we just talked about probably would grade on most people, you kind of need your own litmus test for you, because we've all been in experience where we kind of wonder if all of our friends don't feel the same feelings of irritation towards someone as we do. And you know, you'll sit around and be like, so what do we think of such and such? And they'll be like, love them, they're great. And meanwhile you're sitting there thinking, but what about when they did this thing? Like, what about when they said this thing? And you don't want to, like, you know, you don't want to come across as like a crazy negative person. But do you think a fair litmus test is if you don't want to do things that you typically enjoy with this person, that's probably a bad sign that they might be an energy vampire?
Yeah, like, again, you think about it. You think about, oh, I'm going to have dinner with this person, or they're going to be at this event, or what. Like, they're already negatively affecting you even before, you know, you're there. So you're already at a deficit kind of going in there. And again, as you said, it's a little bit different for each person. I think it probably does have to do with values and pushing against those. But in terms of identifying it, there's a really important distinction, I think, that needs to be made. And that is someone a permanent energy vampire or they are temporary, right? So we all have people in our lives that are going through struggles or problems, or, you know, I think divorce is a common one. You know, if you have a really good friend who's gone through a divorce or a bad breakup, they probably take on the qualities of an energy vampire for a while. If we go to, you know, what we just talked about, we're going to get on the phone and we're going to talk about them the whole time, right? There's going to be a lot of this happened to me. Like, but I think, you know, particularly for family or friend, you have to recognize, and I've had phases of this with friends and family where, again, it's temporary. It maybe temporary a year, but it's month or otherwise. And you gotta be like, is this gonna revert, or is this person permanently changed? And in most cases, it does revert. So that's kind of, you know, you don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater there, particularly if that person has been someone who has added energy to your life before. So that's the first test: is this temporary or is this permanent? Like, I want to be a good friend, I want to be there for them, but, you know, if it's permanent, again, what does it look like for me? And am I walking away from these interactions feeling worse? Because that's just not how you want to spend your time in life. Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? 2 years ago, I bought a dual suspension mountain bike for the first time, and it pushed me to ride trails that I had never been willing to try before. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has exceptional capability that will have you seeing the possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. The Lexus GX comes with available dynamic sky panorama glass roof, available front row massaging seats, best-in-class towing capacity, available 33-inch all-terrain tires, and available multi-terrain select. I've seen the new Lexus GX popping up all around my town, and not only does it have the capabilities to take you to new places on and off the road, but it's a great-looking car. The new Lexus GX is ready to raise the bar for you. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Hey, Elevate listeners. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify is the partner you need to keep the cash register ringing for your e-commerce business. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading platforms. I advise a lot of companies in the e-commerce space, and almost all of them have migrated to Shopify. And as a buyer, what I love about buying from Shopify-enabled sites is that they already know who I am, and I don't have to create a new account or enter all my payment info. The Shop Pay service makes it faster and easier to buy, which surely helps with conversions. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/elevate, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/elevate now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/elevate.
Yeah, and it's a really important distinction, because the advice of the article is not, you know, if your best friend, as you said, gets divorced and they spend an hour crying about it, you shouldn't walk away from that conversation saying, well, that really brought me down. I guess I shouldn't see this person.
And look, your next five
anymore.
Conversations are all going to be about them, and they're not going to ask you about stuff that's going on in your life. And like, that's just the time to be a good support person.
Yeah, I think it actually kind of relates to a professional concept you've talked about too. The idea of sort of, rather than work-life balance, it's work-life integration. And the commonality, I think, between the two things is 50-50 in the aggregate doesn't mean 50-50 all the time.
Yeah.
And relationships can be 50-50 in terms of what you get out of it and what you put into it. But that doesn't mean that every conversation or even every month or every year with the person has to be perfectly 50-50. There's going to be a swing back and forth based on what's going on in your life.
Yeah, look, that is an excellent point. And I can point to a point earlier this year where I had a bunch of things going on. And in talking to my friends, it was like, I just got to like lay this on you and I need your help with it. I was probably, you know, the energy vampire in those conversations. So, right, you're looking for balance in the long term. You're not looking for balance in each conversation or interaction. I think they're natural ebbs and flows. But you know, that's what a relationship is about, give and take. And in the long run, if it's all take, then obviously that's not a very mutually beneficial relationship.
Yeah. And so in cases like that, I would imagine a good way to think about it is when you think about, quote unquote, the good times, what were the good times? Like, if the good times with someone who is giving you that energy vampire experience were you kind of were associated with them in a friend group, for example, and you actually, when you think about it, you don't have that much personal history with them. You don't have a lot of like great stories of spending amazing times with this person. Whereas, as you're talking about, if you have like a best friend or like a partner and you're going through a challenging time with them, you can think back and be like, this person needs me right now, and this is worth it because the person that they've been throughout our relationship is a truly valuable part of my life in a really powerful way.
Yeah, it's about thinking, you know, in the long term. And again, is this a consistent thing? Is this something you look forward to? There's just a lot of things that we keep doing, and I think this is where we just keep doing it because it's easier to do it than to not do it. And look, our time is limited. Our patience is limited. Our willpower, our energy is limited. These are not things that you just want to use when you don't have to. So there's some real nuance around the edges here to start. You know, conversely, there are some people. And look, most of the things when I talk about things is not adding to your life. Like, this is like, how do you subtract or swap? And we can talk about later this concept of a relationship dashboard. But if you think about some of these people that you only see once or twice a year, but when you see them, it's like just magic. Like, it's like, you know, what's the intimacy is the word. Like, you just jump back into it. It's energy. Like, go make more plans with those people, right? you know, figure out, like, one of the things I do is I keep a city list and people that I want to see. If I ever have to be in a city for something, like, who are the three people I really want to see? Like, you know, that's how you want to redistribute your time to people who love, you know, uplift you, share the ideas. And there's a professional version of this and a personal version of this too.
Yeah. Well, it relates a little bit to the idea. I think it might've been in the 4-hour work week you've talked about before, where Tim Ferriss, when he had his customers for his first business, and he realized that actually he was giving a lot of his time to his least valuable customers. Yeah. I think that happens in life too with energy vampires. Is an energy vampire will take up more of your time than you're thinking. And it's not until you really take stock of it and say, I don't see this person who I really like enough because I'm spending so much time with this person who I don't even really try to see, but they kind of just put it on me and I don't feel like I can say no.
Yeah. And look, this gets into start to like, how do you manage kind of an energy vampire? And this, we can go in a million different ways in this, personally, professionally, family, otherwise. I think there's all different situations, but let's start with the personal one. And most of us are conflict avoidant. I think societally we are more conflict avoidant than ever, unless we go on Twitter or otherwise, and then we're totally comfortable in everything we're saying. But you know, Don DePonde, who was on this podcast, and we talked about this a little bit, he shared something years ago that was like just super impactful for me. He said, "Look, you don't have to break up with these people, but just stop giving them your energy, making plans." So you know, you and your partner get together with that couple you haven't seen in a year because you said you would get together. You're like, this sucks. Like, this is my wife's old friend and I barely like this guy and he's really annoying. And then we go, we should do this again. Like, just don't say that. You know, don't say that. Don't ask people. This is a guy who was a Hindu priest and a Buddhist monk. And he goes, I just don't ask people how they are if I know they're going to respond terribly every time. Right. It was just such simple advice. And you don't have to have breakups. You can just stop making plans, or you can be busy, or you can increase the distance from 3 months to 6 months. And these things will naturally fade away. And then there's no bad feelings. And they just sort of organically. And I started doing that where I was like, look, these relationships just aren't productive for me. And so I'm just not going to sort of feed them. And there was no breakup. And I don't even think the people even realized it.
Yeah. And again, there's a wide gap between let's do this again, and this sucked, I don't want to see you again. And it's a very simple, it was nice to see you. depart.
Yeah, and look, you can like, hey, like, when should we do it again? Look, I'm actually going to be traveling for a few months. Let's reach out in a couple. The truth is that most people are lazy. And if you sort of put it onto them or push it out, you know, every time, one of the tactics a lot of people use who are asked stuff or to do stuff, they say, look, check in with me in 4 weeks. I'm really busy. And that kills 80% of it. Just even the act of having to follow up, most people don't want to do. So there are a bunch of tactics to do that. I would really encourage people, again, you're sitting at a dinner you don't want to have again, just be like, hey, look, it was great to see you guys. Like don't. Just take out the let's do it again soon. Like it's not it and it you will just reduce the frequency of the dinner that you don't want to have. And then sit down and look at your list and like who are the couples that you love to get together with, but it just doesn't happen. Maybe you drive 45 minutes and make that happen for your old friends that moved, because it's a lot more meaningful for you. With everyone fighting for attention these days, how can you get your business to stand out and connect with customers? It's easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media postings, and even event management. You'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track your growth. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing that your emails are actually reaching your customers, thanks to their best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Constant Contact was actually the first email marketing platform I ever used almost 20 years ago, and it's a testament to the product's quality that it's still the standard for email marketing today. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
It's a really good point what you were talking about, because it's exactly like a lot of stuff you talked about with networking. It is amazing how much stuff you can avoid doing if you put the ball in the other person's court to do just a tiny bit more effort to maintain, whether it's making the plan, whether it's a reference, whether it's a letter of recommendation. Like if you just say to someone, as you were saying, follow up with me later, let's talk about this later, or yeah, I would consider that. Like, why don't you tell me where you want to go for dinner? And it's amazing how often that will just end the conversation, because inertia kicks in, the person doesn't do anything, and then all of a sudden you've bought another month of not seeing.
Yeah, it's a really good tactic. And you know, you reminded me too before. I think, look, there's this notion of frequency versus depth, like things that you do often, people that see often. We had a couple that lived across the hall from us right when we got married and had our first child, and we were like extremely good friends. We're in the same part of life, and then they moved to Ohio, and you know, we hadn't seen them in years. We used to see them, and it was a great example. He had asked me to come speak at his company, and we had to reschedule it for like 2 years because of COVID. And then eventually I was going, and I said to my wife, like, you should come with me. And she actually hadn't seen me speak. It came at me, and we went out to dinner with them. We hadn't had dinner in 15 years. We had like a 3-hour dinner, and it could have been a 5-hour dinner, right? And again, hadn't seen these people in a long time, but the depth, and like, it just added so much more value to my life than probably a lot of the perfunctory things that we might do at home. Oh, let's catch up with the Joneses or whatever. Like, you should give yourself the permission. Now, I might have not gotten on a plane otherwise to go to Ohio to do that, but like, really think about, like, again, some of the more meaningful people in relationships, they might not be in the frequency bucket for you or the proximity bucket, but they might be worth like the work a little bit. Again, I would encourage people to keep that city visit list of like, if someone ever asks me or I have a business meeting here, like, I love that to catch up with. I use that to catch up with those. Who are those like amazing folks who were super uplifting for me, but they just don't live near me anymore?
Yeah. And it's a really good example of how you can give into inertia, where you just think that the most important people in your life are the people that you see the most often. And sometimes you have to get off of the hamster wheel a bit and think, what is the degree of what is the relationship that offers that degree of depth that I need, even if I don't see them all the time, and how can I see them more?
Yeah, so that's the personal side. The work side, right, is also a little more nuanced and complicated. If your boss is an energy vampire, you probably should get a new job. Like, I just think, or if you can navigate to a new boss, like, if you have to walk into that every day, like, to me, that's like being married to an energy vampire. Like, it's just not, it doesn't feel, you know, sustainable. So I think if you really identify that, then that is probably something that you can't fix. Conversely, there may just be someone on your team or a different team who's a huge energy vampire, but they're kind of like around you. Like, they're not a core part of what you do. And you just, again, those are the cases of how do you just give that person, you're like, I like my job, I love my boss, like, Susie drives me crazy, but like, how do I just give Susie less of my energy or just not engage so that it doesn't detract from my overall experience?
Yeah, so that relates to another topic in the posts, which is for the energy vampires that you can avoid, like the friend of a friend you don't like an in-law, like even it can in some cases be a member of your own family. You talk about building that emotional dissociative firewall. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so this is the thing I have been asked the most after these speeches. I'll have someone come up to me privately in the corner of a room, because I talk about energy vampires in the context of emotional capacity and your relationships and making these decisions. And they will say, like, what do you do when, you know, it's family, it's often an in-law or otherwise, and like they're kind of like choked up around this. And like, here's the thing, right? A lot of energy vampires come in packages, you know, with people that we love and care about and want to spend time with, right? You might have a sibling, but that sibling's partner is an energy vampire for you or otherwise. Or you have some member of the family, but the family all gets together, right? Look, normally I am not a psychologist. I play one in professional world. I don't think anyone would ever normally recommend this, because again, you don't want to dissociate or form a dissociative barrier. Generally, that's not a healthy way to do it. But in these situations where it's a package deal, where the angel comes with the devil, that is the best strategy, is to just build a wall and not give this person your energy. Look, you might be going over to the family barbecue and, you know, it's your sister-in-law, and you just sort of prepare yourself mentally. She's going to come over to me. She's going to make the same comment she always does. She's going to say this thing. And like, you kind of go through the motions in advance and you're like, I'm just not going to care. I'm going to smile. I'm going to look it off because I want to see my brother, like, you know, or whatever it is. So I think you have to understand that. Look, and I know a lot of, I've heard a lot of people struggle with this in terms of, like, you know, they have a grandparent that's problematic, but they want the relationship for their kids, you know, and they have that certain relationship with a parent, but it's different. And so it, rather than let that eat at you, I think you have to just sort of disassociate and build this sort of numbness. So you're around this person, there's a firewall, they don't bleed into it. It's not good, but it's not bad. Again, not a healthy way to deal with relationships, but the only reason why I would recommend it here is because it's a package deal. If it was just that person, you would say, look, don't do that. Like, just take that person out of your life, right? But for a lot of people, it's a package deal. That person comes with someone that they do want to spend time with and care, and that if they blow that up, they are going to lose that other relationship, which is meaningful for them. So that is the tactic that I think works the most. I know, look, it's worked for me in the past, and it's really just, it's on yourself. Like, how do I not get bothered, triggered? And again, there's some preconditioning where you can kind of say, this is exactly what's going to happen, and I'm not going to react.
Yeah, it's a little like that sort of stoicism visualization exactly. Tactic where fear you think setting. Through. Yeah. And you think through potential bad outcomes and how you could process them in the moment. And the good news is that sometimes, even with the worst energy vampire, you'll go through that exercise and you'll see them. And if they don't do all of those awful things you've prepared yourself for, you might actually come away from it being thinking, you know, I usually hate seeing that person, but this time they weren't bad. And that's pretty good.
Everything's relative to expectations. So if you get those expectations pretty bad in your mind, then in some cases they can only be better. Again, generally not a healthy thing, but you're trying to deal with this package, and this package has something that you like and it has something that you don't like. And so it's a way to get through that. But I can't tell you how many people have like walked up into a quiet corner and sort of asked me that question. And it's one of the hardest things that they're dealing with. And I guess they really don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, but that's their only other option. And so they're looking for different ways and tactics. And that's the best one I've found.
Do you have a particular favorite energy vampire story from yourself or someone you know to close us out?
Look, not without implicating anyone. I mean, the one I mentioned before, just been in some things. I've noticed either on the phone or otherwise some people where you're like, again, just reflexively, like, hey, Mick, how's it going? And that just opens up this wall of pain for you. And then you're like, God, why did I do that? Like, to me, that's the sure sign of an energy vampire, someone who would take the opening of a reflexive, how's your day, and turn that into a dump of their problems on you. That's generally a large warning sign to stay away.
Yeah, or the slight variant of that where someone asks you how you are and you do the very casual, yeah, it's everything's great. How are you? And then they floodgates open.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. Like, I never, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, when people ask me how it's going or it's been a bad day or whatever, like one of my constant kind of reflexive answers is can't complain, or all good, or can't complain, or other than the weather I can't complain, or like trying to like intentionally be like, look, whatever problems are, like, they're not really serious. Like I'm kind of trying to go the other way. Like, look, like generally, like life's pretty good, for me otherwise, and kind of spin it up to not, and maybe it was a result of that over the years, but generally I will say things that are better than they are, not because I'm trying to smokescreen or otherwise, but because I don't want it to devolve into like let's all complain about our lives as an opening salvo here. Like, I just that kind of stuff is draining. I will say one thing I have noticed personally, and this may be, again, how it's a little bit different for everyone, and I guess this is a story, and it's more general, but it took a while. Like, I probably have some latent anxiety, as do all of us, but it's much more latent. Like, people that know me, I think I tend to be introspective and deal with it quietly and otherwise, and so I do struggle with, and I've had a hard time with, people who are just openly anxious about everything. I do find myself kind of like closing up, or it just being like really uncomfortable. And so that is something I have noticed, particularly with relationships over the last couple of years, when someone just is constantly openly kind of anxious, and that's their kind of go-to move. It just brings me down, and it brings me like into that. And so I have intentionally had to build up some barriers around those sort of relationships. And that, I guess that's another typeset for me, archetype for me. Thanks for joining us today. If you want to check out the post we discussed, go to robertglaser.substack.com and click on the Leadership Minute tab. And you can find the latest post titled Stop Giving Time to Energy Vampires. Keep your eye out for future editions of Weekend Conversations coming to your podcast feed every Saturday morning. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the show, please follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast app, as that's the best way to get new episodes. Until next time, keep elevating.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting podcast, or YAP, like it's often called by my YAP fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.